Nolan and work with every one of the past recipients of the Crane Patterson Award in the field of documentation and information in chemistry. Austin Patterson I knew quite well. He'd come in and we talked. Arthur Lamb, and Jay Crane, Howard Nutting, Melville, Dunn.
Yeah.
All these people, Compel, Dyson, Noyes.
Well, what about ACES accomplishments? Were you most proud of now in retrospect?
As presidents, and this bothered me, is see, ASIS has elected each year a new president, and each new president makes a statement of what its platform and program is going to be to achieve in that given year that he's elected. Unfortunately, there are not many things that you can achieve during that year because 1 year is too short of a time to change an organization like democratic society like ACES. I look back on it. We had a tremendous year that I was president. We got done a number of things. But there was no outstanding accomplishments as an organization. We got people working together, certainly, the library, the information science. We had another couple of fantastic meetings up in Boston. We had an international group, over 100 people come from other countries to ASIS, and that was a good meeting for the first time. Some people in ASIS wanted to change the name to the World Information Society, and I fought that because we didn't represent the world. There were information scientists in France and Germany, and you can't. You quoted Parvis Khan. She was big in international. She thought we should change the name, and I debated and I ruled against it. I persuaded the board not to change its name to become the world. They were thinking that we could indeed in America set up a worldwide scientific society, and they, no, you can't become a worldwide. You don't represent the field, and they aren't gonna accept your American leadership role and function. And although some will, and that's fine. You can bring other countries into it, but they have to be participating in a direct manner in a society that they can run and govern as well as we in America. And so I was against changing the name from American and dropping that name to Information Science Society. There wasn't that much accomplished during my tenure.
Well, as you say, it's hard to point to real definite accomplishments during one year period of time.
Some organization got president of Ohio State University Alumni Association for 2 years, and you can accomplish things there in a two-year period, and I did accomplish in the National Federation of Abstracting Services. I had a two-year tenure, and you can get things done there in a two-year period, but not as much as you would like to or hope to do. I think ACS has a fairly good program of having president-elects and presidents and past presidents work together on the board in an executive committee manner. So we had, you won't believe this, at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, there's a great professor, chairman of the Department of Chemistry by the name of Charlie Price. Charlie Price had one arm. I don't know how he lost part of his arm. He was a good golfer with just one arm. 1970, he was the president of ACS. The first time he came into the board of ACS, he says, I'm going to give you a choice of programs for the ACS to sponsor during my tenure as president. You know what the choices were? Synthetic life or control of weather. Now, you may be able to achieve some of it, mankind gene control to develop synthetic people. but it's a long time. Our controlling weather, you may be able someday to control the weather. It takes a lot of power to do it. It may be a long research project, but he wanted the ACS to start under his administration these two things. You know what the board decided? Not to do either. The reason why, they said, was because in a one-year period, and each board each year changes, you get four or five new members on the board, and they all have their own philosophy and modus operandi. So they said you can't control boards of the future to commit themselves to these two major projects for the ACS. So they never did anything towards them.
We need to stop pretty soon and let you go, but strikes me that we have not talked about your wife and family and where you met her and when you were married and whether you have children and those kinds of things.
Right after the war, I came back to Columbus to do my graduate work, and I met her. She was coming to Columbus from Bowling Green. She was a teacher up at the schools in the Bowling Green area. And I was doing master's graduate work, and we met over the rooming house on High Street here in Columbus, and we had three children, three boys, all taller than me. I gave them $25 when they beat me. I was 5 foot two, or 6 foot two, and they all got bigger than me by taking their vitamin pills. There are two of them are successful out of the three boys. I only had three grandchildren, two girls and one boy. I don't know if that's enough, but
they're all here in the Columbus area.
No. One's a assistant superintendent in California at, in the school system, an educational system out there, and he has both a marketing degree and an education degree and a finance degree, and he. He's doing very well out there. The other boy is a computer nut for one of the young Sensitech companies, high-tech companies here in town. He taught computers at the university down in Columbus, and also welding. He took, he'd been in the Coast Guard, and he liked welding, and then he got into computers, and he's been that professional computer oriented guy, machine designs by computers and building sensors that cost more than gold. Some of those sensors they're building at Sensitech are put on bodies, human bodies, and airplanes up in space vehicles or on automobile crashes, these types of sensors that sense your body movements. It's a high-tech company that came out of Battelle Research.
No chemist in the family, huh?
Yeah.
I thought they would have all teethed on a copy of chem abstracts, and
they had the one boy, the youngest boy, blew up our basement water explosion. He used to do chemical experiments in the basement, and he blew up my wife's washing stone. Washing tub. But he didn't stay with that chemistry. He's a good, good engineer, good computer scientist. He developed his own wireless, but he's not done chemical oriented. We're not getting students through chemistry. And, Mark Marygood is big on this, and so the ACS. We're not getting enough young minds into the field of chemistry, primarily, I think, because of the bad reputation chemists have had over the last decades or so. We're ruining the world with all the chemistry, environmental pollution, and the majority of the news about chemistry, of course, is negative. Affecting adversely the human race and population. I've seen cities in this world which are fairly bad, polluted chemistry. You used to be able to develop film, photographic film, in the area around Osaka. The pollution was so bad in the rivers and the lakes and the ocean. Frankfurt, Germany is very badly polluted. So is Moscow. But they've had a bad reputation, some of them.
Our final question is, what is a doctorate of psychology?
Psychology.
No, you were given. You were given a degree from Offutt Air Force Base.
Right. That means that you've learned all the systems of air defense of our country.
Okay.
By Strategic Air Command.
Now, you were in the Strategic Air Command?
No, I just was out there several times.
Okay.
And I gave a talk to them out there, and they appreciated that. The general, I should show you that degree they awarded me in psychology.
Yeah, we saw that.
For the people who are at least interested in psychology. I even was up in the air with the looking glass vehicle, which was up then continuously 24 hours a day, but now they've cut back on that and they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Can I?
Sure.
Yeah. General.
Yep.
Just having listened to us mainly ask questions, is there two parts to this question? Is there anything that you think that should be said that we haven't prompted you to say? And two, is there anything, if you think a bit about the whole area of chemical information, anything that you want to tell us about it that we wouldn't be able to find in other sources or, you know, in published materials, or some more general leading insight for doing more research ongoing, look at the history of this area?
Those are good questions. They're tough questions. Is there anything that I haven't told you I'd like to tell you about? And we've wandered a good deal today. I thought you guys would pinpoint me more closely into particular areas of chemical research and development. And we've talked a long time, longer than I thought we would, about where we are and where we're going. And of course, there are a lot of areas that haven't been covered in our discussion about chemical information and growth. No one knows where we are on the curve of chemical research. There have been studies, and I've done papers every 5 years about the growth of chemical literature, past, present, and future. See, we can't extrapolate on the curve where we are. We've been exponentially increasing. A lot of people call it a revolution. Well, it isn't a revolution. There are so many chemists in the world. There is so much research in science that's going on. Derek DeSolo Price, History of Chemistry, at Yale University. Any of you got any of his books?
I know some of them.
Science Since Babylon and Big Science, Little Science. Mm-hmm. Boy, those are good. Derek took some of he used to come out here, visit with me. A lot of data we had, he would get into his articles. He was a hell of a guy, and Derek DeSolo Price. He had history of science as well as chemistry, but he would plot this. He had a curve of the different nations of the world in the development of science research, and he showed on this chart the number of papers, the amount of research that was going on in different countries, and he had Israel right up at the top of his of the intellectual abilities of different nations to produce research, good research. And he said United States, and he had Germany and he had Japan up there. Japan's come on since World War II. They're better research, of course, and they're developing probably more patents than anybody else. But the point is, the history of chemistry is changing. I don't think that there will be as much growth in the literature of chemistry in the years ahead, because there aren't as many people. I'll never forget a Nobel Prize winner in New York City say that we have learned everything we need to learn in research and development in science. And that's crazy, because there are more things that we don't know that the growth of science is going to increase, but not at the rate it has been since World War II. They probably were on this healing curve of science and chemistry in almost all fields, although biological and biochemical research is increasing, but we're probably up here someplace in the growth. Dr. Wallace Brode of the State Department, who is a chemist, is responsible for science advisors to the Department of State. Had a paper out in Science magazine that was showed that we couldn't produce in America any more scientifically trained people. There weren't more than 4% of our people that could understand and do good work in science. In other countries who are developing, the 88 lesser developed nations of the world are going to produce more scientifically able people in the future. And so I don't think we're limited in all fields of science to that in chemistry, but it's true. I think there will be a leveling off of the production of new research in the fields of science in the years ahead. What do I think it could be done that isn't being done? I'm not sure that's your question, your second question. What
is sort of how to lead us as we, mainly Bob here, is embarking on a project to look at the history of chemical information, and if there's some insight or direction you might want to point to that or we might not come to
the history of information
ways,
science, basically.
More generally, yeah.
As I understand it, Bob's more interested in all fields of science.
Well, indeed, the history of information science.
Yeah.
Even though you've been sanguine about the and spoken about the improbability of there being a true information science
as such, as a profession.
Well, not as a profession. No, I mean as a scientific discipline, but yeah, as a profession also.
Well, as a, in, yeah, as a discipline, as a profession. You see, I'm not sure the curriculum, they tried many times to rule as ASIS as to what constituted a good academic program.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's been discussed many times by the academia.
That's right. Many a time in faculty meetings. Yeah.
Well, true, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And some of those people are pretty good that have been involved. Tony Behrman, she is at the University of Pittsburgh now, and she's very good in that. She just won the Ampace Award and the Mal G. Conrad Award.
So I think Leo's question is, when looking at the history of information science, and particularly chemical information science, are there things you want to tell me that really, or both of us, because I hope Leo's going to be a real partner in this thing, to pursue that are fascinating leads that need to be followed up on, or insights of any kind?
Well, you see, you've given me a chance now today to think about this, because I wasn't sure where you were going in the discussion of audio. Discussion of where we have been and where we're going. I haven't thought of things that might be useful and important to you. You guys know history of science better than me. I have been a futurist. I haven't been a history historian type. I think it takes a very unusual mind to do a good job in the field of history of science. You have to be trained different ways, like Derek DeSolo Price. I think he was a pretty good historian type mind. You have a division of history of chemistry, an ACIST could help you in this area. I don't know their programs well.
You know, I just thought if you had some personal, but the answer to this could be
on with Scott Adams. It was published in the Library of Trends. person's mission oriented science. And I think there's a tendency in our countries to develop projects to accomplish certain things, a mission, like space mission. I don't know that we're, our sciences are mixing. We're digging deeper into the research and development of any field like chemistry, and their fields are broadening out so that they're broader, like biology is overlapping more with chemistry and physics, and they're broadening out in the disciplines of research so that there is going to be a tendency to break down the disciplines of science and do scientific information. Number of disciplines or missions oriented areas. This is an interesting study. I don't know how far it's going. The other area that's always been peculiar to me, I wish the devil some way to work out. I had a theory at one time, this difference between data, information, knowledge, wisdom. Now, there have never been any good studies in this that I've identified. As we grow older, we say that the generations have greater wisdom. Perry and Kent wanted to build a knowledge center of the world here at Case Western Reserve. They call it knowledge. I want the ACS to build here worldwide chemical information knowledge center. I think as we automate, as we go through the internet systems and computer-based systems, that we need to bring together quickly, and we're done learning to do that. The papers that you publish as a chemist, it can be taken. The ACS has pioneered this electronically from you as an author directly into an information system, so you can repackage it as we were discussing earlier. That kind of thing is very important, but what constitutes an information system versus a data system versus a knowledge system versus a wisdom? If we can identify, and we may have to do this some way in the future, by computers more than by intellectual human beings, building the knowledge capabilities beyond information, taking what grains of sand we need in the shores of the different oceans in chemistry and physics and math, and building the knowledge systems that we need to advance our work, our understanding of the world we're in. I don't think we can achieve the wisdom system so well. It could be that you could design and develop an wisdom. Those people who are always good minds will interpret a science of chemistry. And if your data is right and valid, then you can say this is going to be true, this philosophy, postulate, whatever you want to develop. And I think the computer, what do we call it, computers that are doing intellectual work now today.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. Mm. The kind of thing that's going to be very important in the future that might help mankind to understand the world better in which we live. I think that these are developments that are coming along. I don't know about history. You're pros in that area.
Thank you very much. It's been a really enjoyable day. I think we're blinking.